hello, everyone. Welcome to Be Aware Nation. I'm Sally, and this is Barry.
Greetings, people out there in Be Aware Nation land. Thank you for tuning in to Internet Radio in Be Aware Nationville. We're looking forward to sharing today with you and finding out how to continue the exploration of learning how best to synthesize science and spirit into a living system schema. We know that today is a beautiful rendition of spring coming on, so new thoughts and new feelings and new ideas and activities are all springing forth and looking forward to a new beginning. So we would like to continue on that framework and continue to look at how we, as, you know, spokespeople for the process of being aware, as humans, here we are, all individuals having our own experiences. I think today was a big day here on the network when the idea of looking for how to synthesize anew some of these further and farther out renditions of awareness into our everyday living experiences. And so we really like to examine how best the functionality of some of this material really translates, and trying to build frameworks that really enable all of the individual independent voices that are busy having experiences, that are busy experimenting anew in realms unbefore known to them. And so how to come away from those experiences with a sense of confidence and security that that experience rings true enough to be able to be shared and experienced outside of oneself.
I think that, you know, spring is an excellent time to reevaluate our position to all of that, individually and collectively. You know, very often we find ourselves bemoaning the fact that we have so many responsibilities, that we have a job, and so there's form and function to that job and goals and end results that need to be achieved for that job to be running smoothly and to answer to those that your work touches. And then there's family and friends, and there's responsibilities there, form and function again. Just the time it takes to accomplish the most basic duties of life, to keep things running smoothly. And I think that the greatest thing about spring, the old term spring cleaning, is a very prescient one for this time, because really we want to look at the kinds of thoughts that we have so that we can create this living system schema through our own design, through what our thoughts manifest themselves to be. And so we really need to take stock about a form and a function, the living system schema. Really, that's what it provides for us, form and function. And so when we bemoan the fact that we are so beholden, if you will, to form and function through those things I just talked about, jobs and just life, that we tend to want to go into, if only I could have an opportunity to zone out, to not have these responsibilities, to just take a breather, to just, you know, not feel these pressures. And so we kind of then swing away from a form and function in that seeking of a little bit of peaceful time where we're not so pressured. And yet it's the very form and function of our thoughts and how we can create this translation of what we call our ethereal euphoria, to translate it into a functioning system of substance, meaning, and merit, then we need to look at our inner form and function and understand how to utilize that to give ourselves that sense of freedom. So I think that's one of the themes today, is really looking at how to create this framework so that we can grab a hold of ourselves, if you will, and really use that gift of awareness to propel our lives forward so that we have the best spring crop imaginable.
It's really a fun, exciting time to think in terms of newness. It's one of the ways in which we propel ourselves forward. It's, you know, one of the interesting components of being human. You know, it doesn't necessarily look to us humans as if animals in the animal kingdom necessarily partake of fun for fun's sake. Yet, the more we study them, the more we encounter that, you know, many animal species in family life spend an awful lot of time at play. And the nature of how play informs their species process and ties that process to nature in such a very fundamental operating system manner. The very nature of being, therefore, ties into a function of play as a way to inform our personal processes with the necessary ingredients to come to understand our place within nature's grand schema. And so how we come about this idea of fun in our thought process, in our creativity realm, in our minds, the ways in which we explore the basis of our beings, the ways in which we explore our minds to find the ways to have fun, is in and of itself speaks pretty profoundly about what it is to be human. That, you know, so much of our being is taken up with having fun, and how we define fun. And what we do within the makeup of our personal selves, our familial selves, our communal selves, our societal selves, how much of all of that infrastructure and institution is really comprised of delivering us fun. And as we've been exploring, you know, this whole concept of media, and what it means to merge medias into a mind that matters. And what does merging media into a mind that matters have to do with being aware? And how does the being be aware? And what does awareness have to do with the being? And when does media merging into a mind take place? And how to control and be in command of all of that while it's all going on. And so the challenges that we face as continued expansion of consciousness delivers us greater and greater sums of awareness, more expanded capacity. What and how do we articulate and define what it is we want to bring into our functional reality to build models to use to identify our ethereal experience of that expanded consciousness state of being? And how do we do it within a realm that causes us to feel as though we're at play? The very nature of where humans get excited and spring to life is centered around that aspect of play. And so the challenge we face within this new realm, where this global economic system hurriedly being developed right around us, underneath us, at using us as the actual operating material of the construction of this new global economic system, whereby we are a disposable resource to enable this new machine's appetite and capacity to expand itself. And so we are having to really look at the complex layers of our living systems to begin to come to terms with how to define, how to delineate, how to describe these etheric experiences that continue to merge our own personal understanding of science and spirit, and how those things inform our living experience, our living system that we already have in place.
Well, let's look at, it's a really good point when you talk about the global system using us as a disposable resource. And I think that very often within our awareness, we do reach a threshold where we say, it's so multi-layered, it's so multi-dimensional. When you talk about this global system and the people in power and the, you know, the maneuvering and manipulation of this power, be it through laws, be it through the economics, however it is. And so how does one not just hit the wall in terms of saying, okay, I have etheric understanding, I have ether communications, I get messages, I know my intuition, I listen to it, yet I cannot make that translate into understanding what I don't know, as I mean on this material plane. And so how does one take that step to not hit the wall, because you simply are not able to control the global force, and therefore you might throw your hands up and say, well, why should I,
Well, in large measure, that's really why we continue to use, and I think we spoke about this in firm measure, that it's really the overarching overview, if you will, of what it is we want our organizational mantra to be about. This concept of merging medias into minds that matter. The very nature that media is the currency of our time. The very concept that we're here having a conversation within this ether realm simply as a result of an expanded technological capacity to bring about this new form of communication. This ability to exchange ideas, to have an ongoing conversation that in and of itself drives this concept of expanded awareness, that makes these ideas and thoughts and principles engaging out into the universe in a way that continues to establish a infrastructure, a pathway, if you will, for future and ongoing discourse around and through this same subject matter. So as this continued opportunity that we all have to have our own individual experiences of ethereal euphoria, and even though they may not necessarily fit our current frameworks of understanding for ethereal euphoria to exist, meaning our relationships with the belief systems that currently instruct our behavior, the religions, the books of life that people have adhered to for thousands of years that have created the basis of as we've spoken about for here we are now, and has media itself displaced many of those belief systems as the vehicle of choice for conveying the types and strength of ideas necessary to influence a body politic, a societal framework by creating imagery and communication carriers that have strength and substance, that produce a form of merit that is used to construct a different form of reality. And so we have the very nature of our underpinnings of being, our belief systems, eroding in their abilities to be able to continue to describe for us, to translate for us, such a necessary component of being a steward over our own personal sense of self, that any religion or dogma or doctrine that adheres to the fundamental operating belief and principle therein, that they are the providers of the opportunity not only for the ethereal euphoria to transpire within their framework, but as the interpreters of our own personal ethereal euphorias, they bring to bear their doctrinal rule sets so as to interpret our own personal ethereal euphoria as more means to support that institutional framework of belief. When indeed many times and in many ways forever the personal ethereal euphoria that people have experienced has been outside the realm of the doctrines and dogmas of the prescribed books of life. And yet here we are today in 2008 having extremely profound and poignant examples across the globe every minute of every day of new and expanding consciousness that delivers light in a new and illuminating way. And yet we seek still and cling still to adhere to basic old standard ways of trying to pass along the knowingness of that etheric experience. And that's where we're constrained, and that's where we are finding ourselves locked into prior patterned perspectives that do nothing to deliver us the enlivened opportunity of what this new experience really prescribes. But because our inabilities to describe it, because our lack of capacity in feeling confident that we possess the kind of language linkage, the ability to describe anew, to define for ourselves what it is these ethereal euphoric experiences are comprised of. How many layers of our being do they truly filter through? And what percolates up out of those layers of our beings in response to, in reflection of, that increased exposure to that greater capacity of that illuminated light that is now finding its way in through greater and greater measures?
I think that that's essentially the answer, is that, we, as through our own awareness, know that we are the authority of us. We know us like nobody else. And so therefore our relationship to anything outside of ourselves, we are the expert on. And that's the way that you manage the forces that sometimes seem insurmountable. And the more that one gets to know the nuances and the layers of self and is able to articulate, and this is key, this language, if you're able to articulate your experience, as difficult as that might be, especially when it's a new experience and there isn't a dictionary, a glossary to describe things that are sometimes indescribable. And so we struggle so to find the language to share this experience, and yet it doesn't come forth, so we don't share it. And that's what I'm talking about in terms of really reflecting in this spring cleaning state of mind. Get rid of the things that are not serving you in this self-structured framework, and really look at what does serve you and what you would like to serve you, and begin to create this language that you can then share, which will then give you more sense of connectivity and a feeling of strength and empowerment against all the odds that you sometimes feel so oppressed by.
All right, listen, in the purest measure, the books of life have been constructed for that very purpose. The very nature of really trying to articulate the language links, the conveyors of our experiences, the real ways in which we have human commerce together, where we have a shared experience, where we are able to literally, you know, literate it by illuminating how that experience has informed our being. And so language is used to convey that. And so the words that we choose, the ways we assemble the words, the phrases that we use, the ideas that we have relative to the experience that we then extract those words from, that the words, the thoughts, the ways in which those experiences have informed our living experience delivers us words that we're accustomed to, that we're used to using in other forms of living. But they don't always necessarily convey the ethereal. Most words and terms are used to construct a language of communication together to speak about our processes. And so processes are very much comprised of physical material stuff. And so really where the rules of life and the belief systems and they're in the religions were able to grow up and grow into such incredible bodies of influence were because they literally possessed the books that actually were comprised of words that were strung together so as to be able to give people a framework for speaking to and about their ethereal euphoria personally, and being able to express it communally in a realm of agreed upon thought, so that there was a communal agreement that that type of experience fell within the realms of this kind of language. And so we're challenged today because we find that an awful lot of the books of life, as they are, and the religions that have grown out of them, have become antiquated in their capacity to serve the expanding consciousness of their membership, because those books are still filled with words that tell yesterday's story of ethereal euphoria. They don't tell today's story of ethereal euphoria, which is built upon all this millennium of expanded consciousness. And so all of that operating material of expanded consciousness capacity has its own ability to articulate its own experience. And where we are falling shy of our self-image of ability to deliver our own ethereal, euphoric symphony is because we're still dependent on the definitions and delineations that make up the framework of the conversation where we believe general agreement for those things exist. Where the rules of life that are governed by the doctrines and religions are therefore then put to test. And so we are challenged today to really look at how to bring ourselves into a much more enlivened and willing sense of participation about communicating our ethereal euphoria by learning how to define, delineate, and therefore be able to deliver and declare what that individual interpretive experience of the universal ethos is all about. What does your expanded consciousness cause you to experience in terms of a renewed idea of self, an expanded sense of self that is greater than it was before that awareness was present? It's the same concept, really, literally, since the beginning of time. None of us showed up with a high degree of knowledge base. We've acquired it as we've gone along. So clearly knowledge and awareness in general are acquired traits that continue to flow into us and make us greater capacitors of our experience. And that never stops. We may try to stop it, but it simply doesn't stop in and of itself. And therefore, as we see here and now, in these most challenging times, where it looks like all hell is breaking loose and chaos reigns, it's truly quite an incredible time of becoming, where our greater understanding delivers us a much more succinct and truly sophisticated understanding of the layers of living. How many of those layers are busy translating our ethereal euphoria, that so many of those layers are actuators of that basic ether communication pattern that is the universe's process that we have no control or command over. We are simply a participant along for the ride, wherein the universe itself is expanding, and the universe itself is evolutionizing, and we are part of that evolutionizing material, if you will, that operating material of the universes. And the greater our awareness is of that fact, the greater our capacity is to articulate that fact, the greater our ability to articulate a constructive model to engage that principle in a living manner is what delivers us a succinct kind of unity and delivers us a centered balance that we could consider then that truly we are it, and we have every reason to celebrate it, and we have every reason to declare it. And so that's an incredible declaration of a living type of hope and faith that becomes a living realization of self.
I think that, you know, to bring it to a very simple example, you know, it's like little children when they're first learning about things. They're learning to talk, and they're making these connections. They've been living in an etheric state, if you will, because they don't have the language skills, and so they've been using their body language and, you know, very rudimentary sounds to communicate their wants and needs. And as they begin to make connections between to themselves and the outside world and their relationship to that world, and as their language develops, they begin to have not only realizations, But then their articulation of their realization becomes, you know, like people say, well, suddenly they just started talking, and, you know, it's almost like a barrage of language, and it's like, you know, if only the little child would give me a break here, because the questions are just coming there and they're nonstop. If you look at the quality of those questions and the wonderment and the ways that they grab a hold of the language that's available to them, that they use, and they put these wild sentences together, and, you know, just things that are just so precious. When you hear how they're looking at something, grabbing language, and then spitting it back out at you and asking you something to give a response to that, I think that's almost the most wonderful way to look at the childlike way that we need to look at our new awareness, the new discoveries that science is telling us about, the new ways that we understand about how the brain works, and our relationship to the universe through the brain, and how we can really embrace that wonderment of a child and yet implement our sophisticated life wisdom that we've had up until this point in time of however long you've been living your life, and integrate that into, again, this living system schema that really reflects yourself. And so as we begin to look at all of the foundations that we have used to frame our lives from, again, these books of religions, these books that tell us about the rule of life, the rule of law, and how we can look to our global system, our governance, and we question it and we look to see how our newfound sense of self can literally begin to effect a change for betterment simply by the observation, just like a child observing and then calculating what that observation means to them and then articulating it in whatever language skills they have. That's an incredible inspirational model to follow when we do feel overwhelmed by what's in front of us. Because, you know, the more aware you become, the more you know it's infinity, that you'll never know everything until you literally have the experience of leaving this body. And then everything changes, of course. But we are in these bodies walking around in this world. And with full knowledge, I think, whether we're conscious of it or not, that this is not all there is. And so we're here to do something. And so understanding that and grasping a hold of it right here, right now, you know, why wait? It's really a fantastic voyage, fantastic journey. It's, you know, you yearn for some free time. Oh, I'd love to go on vacation. Well, it's literally the best vacation you could ever buy, and it's free.
That's a very good way to say it. It's, again, there's that fun factor. And you know, why do we as humans pursue fun as a vehicle, as a ticket, that e-ticket ride to, you know, a euphoria? And we usually pursue it through an ethereal pathway. And so, you know, the whole concept of really the ideals of science delivering us a finite view of the universe, I think it's a pretty interesting component when you add in that it is an expanding universe, and albeit all mathematical formulations that take into account how we've delivered our ability to understand why we're here now, maybe as the universe continues to expand, the math itself will continue to show its ability to expand, and we will continue to recognize anew, as we do, as we have ever since the beginning of time, we know more today than we did yesterday. And we as humans are not only the recipients of this knowledge, we are the translators and the interpreters of this knowledge. And all forms of knowledge have been brought through and to us through the universe's intentions, this universal ethos. Somehow or another, the universe has conspired to make certain that our abilities as humans to expand our knowing, that our brain cells when we are born, as absolutely precious as our process is in discovery, it's no less precious today. And that's one of the dilemmas
exactly.
that we face,
exactly.
is the significance of how to convey, how to inspire, how to motivate, how to believe that the fundamental opportunity of being, that expanded awareness, that expanding consciousness delivers us a capacity to experience that state of preciousness consciously, in the moment that it's occurring, and not only to experience it in the moment that it's occurring, but to be conscious of its capacity therein, and because of its ability to exist, to also expand our capacity to enjoy it even more so. And so the idea that figuring out how to articulate, how to define, how to describe, how to feel confident, you know, maybe the concept of being aware, you know, the idea of expanded consciousness, the this whole outer realm of thought creation, is so dynamically different than the fundamental core thought pattern of society that there's such a constriction of being willing to experiment with communicating these new definitions of ethereal euphoria. And somehow or another, whatever those constrictions are that exist within us all, that cause us all to be restrained about our willingness to expound about our etheric euphoria, and when and how it occurs, and what it does to inform our daily living process, and how those benefits accrue not only to us personally, but to us familially, as well as communally, and therefore largely how they can be shared societally, so that our global system of operations can be tied together with those threads of ethereal euphoria that will ultimately create a global system comprised of those types of cultural values that are based on an expanded awareness and a willingness to describe that awareness in a constructive manner for the benefit of all. And that's fundamentally what the constructive material is for the living system schema. It's really what's about tying together this whole concept of the euos, the gos, and the pos. What is the fundamentals of how that universal ethos translates into the componentry of our everyday lives? It occurs through what we believe in our own personal experience, our own personal story, is that what our process has been about is recognizing how this pattern of what we have termed the cosmic trinity, and the cosmic trinity's transmutation of cosmic energy into our living assets, that literally through the transmutation of cosmic energy into material matter, that we are delivered with the love-filled goodness in every single piece of molecular material. And we are able to construct our own living systems out of that. And we are able to use that then to recognize that that cosmic trinity pattern shows up in every form of living. And so the idea that it is represented by the UOS, the GOS, and the POS, the universal operating system, the global operating system, and your personal operating system, is really how it reflects and is mirrored literally through your IQ, the EQ, and the LQ. And so how in the world an IQ, and an intelligence quotient, an intuitional quotient, and you look at an EQ, an emotional quotient, an educational quotient, and without a proper and full balance, taking into consideration that all assets reflected through the universe are equal, that fundamentally that's what delivers us a cosmic trinity, that delivers us a unified whole system, that delivers full participation, which makes EQ more about an equity quotient, that is really used to fulfill our LQ, our life quotient, which is really the core basis of our love quotient. And when you look at how those things really reflect the UOS, the GOS, and the POS, the IQ, EQ, and LQ, how those elements are the fundamental basis, the construction material of how we live our lives, each and every one of us, and how we engage in our daily doings through the realms of community, culture, and commerce, and how each of them are reflected so completely within that, and how you're able to discern and describe your own personal experience so succinctly when you look and see how your own personal experience is really reflected, that fundamentally your LQ is reflected through the UOS and your interpretation of your own personal perspective. Your worldview, if you will, is really, it's expressed through culture. And that fundamentally your EQ, your interpretation of EQ is reflected in, and really flows through and describes your orientation through the global operating system and your place in the global operating system and your participation level in the global operating system. And that's expressed how you participate within community and how you reflect yourself in community. And there is self, and why IQ is intuitional quotient as a maximizer of self, and fundamentally how that I in Q is your own personal operating system, and how your personal operating system is really the ultimate activator of your own personal interpretation of how you synthesize your LQ and your EQ, how you synthesize UOS and GOS into your own POS, into your own personal operating system. And you do that by being a human being, by being a full and constructive human being, and by participating in full and constructive human commerce, the full shared experience, the benefit of the shared experience, wherein human commerce truly does enrich each other's humanity. And the fundamentals of how POS then, as a personal contribution in every function of commerce, becomes a commitment to enrich each other's humanity. And by making such a commitment to enrich each other's humanity, through the process of synthesizing this ideal of LQ, EQ, and IQ, of UOS, GOS, and POS, reflected through our interpretation, the way we live our daily lives through community, culture, and commerce, That's ultimately bringing ourselves into a fully functional living model of our reflected ethereal euphoria and how to deliver a language link, a communication carrier to our own framework of self, this idea of self reflected within this expanding state of consciousness, how to individually interpret our own articulation is really through this framework of self that we can construct and build and really use to identify the various layers of our living system that we are conscious of and that we have a command over and a willingness to communicate about so as to be able to declare a fuller and richer and more enlivened self that we can use to present to this new emergent world wherein the competing forces of evolution are demanding that we have a more highly attuned and a more highly sophisticated structural system in place that delivers for us a way of participating, engaging, and benefiting as this new world economic system begins to not only take hold, but begins to flourish and grow. And that's what we can say when we are fully in balance with our living system schema, that we truly do have it a true reflective system of substance, merit, and meaning, that we can feel confident and secure about using to enframe no matter where or how our ethereal euphoria continues to expand and grow. With a living system schema of delivering an articulation of self through the prisms of euos, gos, and pos, through the prisms of LQ, EQ, and IQ, through everybody on the planet's daily doings of community, culture, and commerce.
You know, it's interesting because if you look at your personal experience, your daily experience, through the prism of euos, gos, and pos, through this LQ, EQ, and IQ, you know, it's very similar to when we talk about the layers, these three layers, which then beget many, many layers. As we all know, we live very layered lives. And so when you look at what's happened, people say, oh, it's not politically correct, so we have to change the way we've been viewing and articulating our culture. And what we found is that we honor, if you will, the indigenous culture, and we allow for that to be expressed and we honor it, yet we also recognize that we are living in a different era where that particular culture has wisdom and definitely must be honored. It doesn't necessarily work in the day-to-day life of today's world. And so we take the best, we honor the best, we use the wisdom of the best of our history and our culture, our cultural history, and we evolve that into our daily culture that works for us today. And I think that's what we're seeing, is this collective consciousness that is looking at the framework structures and models that we operate under and how to best make them fit by honoring the past and our history and yet pioneering ahead to blaze a new trail that is so connected to this awareness of our consciousness and therefore our relationship to the bigger picture, the etheric communication. And that is the universal operating system. Come into being in this place we call the global operating system, our planet. And then our daily relationship to those two operating systems through our own personal operating system. The personal operating system is the thing that we have the most control over refining. And in our refinement and our, you know, commitment to expressing our own individual personal operating system, which is unlike anyone else's, it's so unique and it's so special that this is how we affect the change and have the enjoyment and the inspiration to interact with our world at large and to explore the universe.
Beautiful. There it is. That's fun again. It's all fun, fun, fun. And really, it's truly, we like to always think in terms of, you know, life is like an online global family theme park. And no matter what you're up to, no matter where you are or who you are, you know, the idea of being in the theme park is such a captivating concept because it really energizes so much of this whole concept of self. And where expanding consciousness, imagination, intuition, you know, the idea of the outer realm of thought, creation, really showcases itself. And it's through imagination and wonderment that has delivered humans across the globe. And it's where we all exist right here, right now, listening to this wild new medium called an internet radio show. And so the idea of being able to have a shared experience in the moment that it occurs like this, wherein we're able to communicate our thoughts out into the ether, and you're all able to share them on whatever basis you do, is really a transformative experience. We are busy right here, right now, in transformation of this incredible sense of self that is becoming a new form of self. And it is a challenge we all face together to begin to create new articulations of what it means to share that experience. And so we've got an awful lot of ways to continue to share that with you. We look forward to participating with you. Please come visit us at beawarenation.com. And see you next week. See you in the ether.
See you next week. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a beautiful, beautiful beginnings of spring. May everything spring forth for you. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us, Be Aware people, here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is a state to put your mind in. So come visit us at BeAwareNation.com. Until we can continue our conversation next Sunday at 5 p.m. here on BBS Radio Channel 1, where we'll look forward to finding out what you're doing to merge medias into your mind in a way that matters. Remember, life affirms what you believe, so don't believe everything you think. Into it, your way home. See you in the ether.